Chapter 10 Foggy didn't think anything of it in his sleep fog state early on Thursday morning when Matt told him he was going to the gym before the lecture. He just snuggled deeper into the beckoning warmth of his blankets, guessing that Matt would be back in time for the contracts lecture at 8 a.m. It was barely 6 a.m. There was still time. Or so he told himself as he drifted back to sleep. But Matt still hadn't come back to the dorm by 8:30 a.m., at which point Foggy realized he'd overslept, leaped out of bed, tripped, stubbed his toe, cursed, then tried to drink coffee, dress, and hunt for his shoes, all while knowing he was going to be embarrassingly late. He guessed that Matt must have gone directly to the lecture hall from the gym and quickly left the dorm room, almost tripping over himself in his haste. Next time he was setting an alarm, he told himself. But Matt wasn't sitting in the lecture hall with everybody else. Foggy slipped his phone out of his pocket and texted him, concealing the phone under the desk as he typed, "Dude, where are you?" But he didn't get a reply from Matt all morning. When the lecture finished and he escaped into the corridor for his lunch break, he rang Matt. But the call rolled straight to voicemail. Foggy was starting to get concerned, not least because it was unlike Matt to be so unreliable. He sighed and rubbed his eyes tiredly as he left Matt a message. "Hey Matt, it's Foggy. I'm just checking you're okay, man. Call me back? I'll go over my notes with you later if you want me to catch you up. Let me know. Bye," he mumbled, returning his phone to his pocket with a sigh. "What was that about?" Marcy asked, joining him in the corridor with an armful of textbooks. "It's nothing, just roommate stuff," Foggy replied, frowning doubtfully. He chewed at his lower lip, feeling tense and uncertain. It wasn't like Matt to miss a lecture. He was always 10 minutes early on principle. He sighed and ran a hand through his hair. Maybe Theo was right, and he should cut it and go for something a little less wild and untamed, and a little more future lawyer. "Where's Murdoch this morning? Don't tell me he slept in," Marcy said with a little smirk. "He's at the gym, I think," Foggy muttered, still frowning. "He knows we have a test today, right?" Marcy asked, looking at him incredulously. "Yeah, we were studying all of last night. He wouldn't miss this," Foggy declared, feeling a flutter of anxiety deep in his gut. He made his way to the cafeteria for lunch and sat at his and Matt's usual table, but his roommate didn't show up for the whole hour he sat there, while his sandwich curled on the plate. He left it uneaten in the end, despite knowing that facing a test on an empty stomach was a bad idea. Where the hell was Matt? He wasn't waiting outside the lecture hall for the test, the big one, the practice one that was supposed to help prepare them for the exam in 6 weeks. It was an important test, even though it wasn't graded. Matt had quizzed him until Foggy had told him to shut up and go to sleep. This test mattered to him, so why wasn't he queuing up with everybody else? Foggy texted Matt again while he waited with the other students in the law corridor. "The test starts in 5 minutes. Where are you?" But Matt didn't text him back, and Foggy had no choice but to sit the test without him. It didn't go as badly as he thought it might, and he left the lecture hall a couple of hours later feeling drained, but knowing that he was a little better prepared for exams than he had been. He called Matt again, but the call just rolled straight to voicemail. He didn't leave a message this time. He made his way to the library instead, just in case Matt had been cramming for the test at the last minute and forgotten to show up for the last 7 hours. Maybe he'd fallen asleep, he told himself as he scoured all 3 floors of the library. Maybe he would find Matt studying at a table and blissfully unaware of the time, he thought hopefully. But after 40 minutes of searching high and low for him, he was forced to conclude that Matt wasn't in the library. He even asked around, but nobody there had seen him. Foggy reluctantly conceded defeat and returned to the dorm, finding it exactly as he'd left it. Matt wasn't asleep in his bed, raiding the fridge, or taking a shower. He wasn't there. As far as he could tell, he hadn't been back to the dorm at all since 6 a.m. that morning. He dropped his bag on the floor and sat down on the edge of his bed with a sigh. He didn't know what he was supposed to do, where he should look or who he should call. Matt didn't really have other friends he could ask for help, or any family that Foggy knew of, mostly because Matt never talked about any kind of living relatives. It seemed a bit premature to call the police. In the end, Foggy texted Marcy and asked her to let him know if she heard from Matt. There wasn't much else he could do right now. But Matt didn't come home all night. Foggy stayed up waiting for him, but gave up hoping around 4 a.m. He turned out the light and went to bed, but he couldn't sleep. He lay there for hours, staring at Matt's empty bed. He missed all his classes the next day, deciding to stay in the dorm just in case Matt showed up. Just in case he wasn't hurt. Foggy couldn't even entertain that possibility, or he was going to lose his goddamn mind. He realized that he didn't even know the name of Matt's gym, or he would have gone directly there looking for him. He ran a Google search on gyms close to campus and found 9 of them. He called each and every one, but either Matt wasn't there, or they wouldn't give out information about their members. Momentarily stymied, Foggy got up and left the dorm. He took to knocking on the doors of every other dorm room and asking if anyone had seen Matt. No one had. It was dark and cold by the time Foggy returned to his own dorm. It was after 9 p.m. when he picked up his cell phone, deciding that he was going to call the police and report that his roommate was missing. If Matt was mad about it, well, he should have called instead of not coming home for 2 days straight. He was seriously worried about him. It had nothing to do with Matt being blind either. It had everything to do with Foggy needing to make sure he was okay. His phone rang, startling him, just as he made the decision to call the police and tell them that Matt was missing. Foggy didn't recognize the number that flashed on his screen, but the area code was for New York City, so he answered it, raising the cell phone to his ear. "Hello?" he muttered uncertainly. "You have a collect call from Matt. Do you accept the charges?" an automated voice asked. "Yes," Foggy exclaimed, clutching the phone tightly to his ear in shock. "Connecting you now," the automated voice informed him. "Foggy, thanks for picking up," Matt's tired voice came over the line. "Matt, where the hell have you been?" Foggy demanded, leaping to his feet. Relief and nervous energy coursed through his veins as he paced the small dorm room. He'd been starting to think the worst, that Matt might have been attacked or mugged on his way back from the gym, and that was why he'd been out of contact. Not that he had any information proving that exact scenario hadn't happened. He could hear Matt's ragged breathing over the line. He sounded panicked, almost like he was gasping for breath. That wasn't a good sign. "I only just got away. Foggy, I need your help," Matt said shakily. "What do you mean you got away? Where are you?" Foggy exclaimed, his concern only deepening at Matt's words. I don't know where I am," Matt admitted, almost sounding like he was on the verge of tears. Foggy closed his eyes and took a deep, steadying breath. One of them needed to remain calm. It needed to be him because Matt sounded like he was close to breaking. He took several deep breaths, drawing on the teachings from all those yoga classes Candace had made him go to last summer. "Okay, well, what's around you? What do you see here, I mean? What's close by, Matt?" Foggy asked, already feeling a little calmer. I'm in a phone box. It's between two intersections. I can hear the traffic stopping and the crosswalk sound," Matt admitted with a slight tremor in his tone. "Okay, good. That's great, buddy. What else?" Foggy asked, pulling his laptop out of his bag and turning it on. The computer was slow to boot up, and Foggy almost wanted to throw it across the room. He was scared, damn it. Now wasn't the time for a software update. Eventually, he managed to get Google Maps to load, but he sighed as he looked at the screen. There were thousands of intersections. He needed more to go on if he was going to find Matt or direct the police to his location. He still wasn't totally clear on what had happened to Matt, but his roommate didn't seem like he would be able to handle a lot of questions about that right now. I can smell coffee and pickles, Matt said, sniffling slightly. Okay, that's weirdly specific. Hang on, I'm trying something here. I'm gonna put you on speaker, buddy, Foggy muttered, setting the phone down as he typed pickles NYC into the search bar. Okay, there are three pickle places I can see here. That's something I never thought I'd say, by the way. We've got the Pickle Guys, Mason Pickle, or Jason's Pickles. I'm looking at Google Maps to see if there's one near an intersection. There's a donut plant near the Pickle Guys. No, I'm not smelling any of that. No sugar or cinnamon, Matt said certainly. He seemed weirdly convinced of that, but Foggy let it go. He'd known Matt had a sensitive nose after the laundry incident, but this was some bloodhound-level shit. But what college student couldn't smell food coming a mile off, he thought, dismissing it as a quirk and examining the map on his screen. Okay, Mason Pickle is right between two intersections on the Upper West Side. I'm pretty sure that's where you are, on that road. There's a burger joint close by, Five Napkin Burger. If you walk up to the second intersection and turn left, you'll find it. It's right on the corner. You can't miss it. Just wait for me there. I'm gonna get a cab, and I'm coming to get you. Okay, Matt? Foggy said, trying to sound comforting. Okay, Matt agreed, his voice scarcely more than a whisper. He didn't hang up, though, and Foggy didn't want him to. He took several more deep breaths. He could hear Matt doing the same, and knew that he was striving for calm in much the same way as he was. The thought of what Matt must have been through over the last 2 days made him feel sick. From the sounds of things, Matt had been forced to escape something or someone. That was a terrifying thought. I'm coming to get you, and I'm buying you a burger, Foggy promised, swallowing hard. Thanks, Foggy. You're a good friend, Matt said quietly. I'll see you in a minute, Foggy replied, in what he hoped was a reassuring tone. The line clicked dead, and Foggy squeezed his eyes shut and sighed. There was a lot he didn't know about what was going on with Matt, but he found that he didn't need to know. He just needed him to be safe. It took more than half an hour for the cab to arrive, and Foggy worried about Matt's safety that entire time. He practically leaped out as soon as the cab came to a stop outside Five Napkin Burger. The driver called after him, wanting his fare, and Foggy promised he'd be back, telling the guy he was picking up another passenger. He found Matt leaning against a pillar a little way from the entrance, the light from the windows behind him silhouetting him in a way that was both cool and a little scary. Matt took a step forward as Foggy approached. Though how Matt knew it was him, he had no idea. His roommate practically fell into his arms, shaking, whether from cold or exhaustion, Foggy wasn't sure. He patted Matt's back awkwardly, relieved to find him alive, if not okay exactly. He drew back after a moment and sighed heavily, noting Matt's bruised eye and swollen jaw and his split, bloody lip. There was dry blood in his hair, too. He looked like he'd been beaten up. Badly. Shit, Matt, what the hell happened? Foggy exclaimed, feeling closer to tears the longer he looked at him. Stick, Matt mumbled, making a noise deep in his throat that sounded suspiciously like a half-choked sob. Oh God, your cane, where is it? Foggy asked, noticing that Matt was empty-handed, without both glasses and cane. No, he's Stick's a person. He used to be my instructor, I guess, after I lost my vision and my dad, Matt explained with a weary sigh. Foggy spent a moment trying to process that and couldn't. Matt's childhood orientation and mobility instructor had beaten him up? Why? What possible reason could he have to hurt Matt? What reason could anyone have to do that? His gaze drifted to the rips in Matt's shirt, and he guessed that there were other injuries and possible wounds hidden by the long-sleeved shirt he wore. He needed to get him to a hospital. "The stick guy did this to you?" Foggy asked, as Matt gave a grim nod. "Okay, we gotta call the police." "No, no, you can't. They can't do anything," Matt said desperately. Foggy shook his head and sighed. Matt was worried about what Stick would do if he reported him to law enforcement. He was afraid of retribution, probably for good reason. This Stick guy was exactly the kind of asshole he vowed he would never represent. He'd bring the full force of the law down on his head if he had his way. "Matt." "Please, Foggy," Matt cried, sounding desperately frightened. "There are things about me that you don't know yet. Just trust me. Stick is dangerous. Please, please don't involve anybody else in this." Okay, but no, I can't let anybody else get hurt," Matt said firmly. Foggy sighed, but ultimately decided to let Matt have it his way, even though he was strongly in favor of Matt giving a statement to the police. He wasn't going to force the issue, though. It was Matt's decision. He'd reached out to him because he trusted him. He wasn't going to lose that trust by pressuring him into going to the police. "Fine, Matt. Is Stick going to come looking for you?" Foggy asked worriedly. "No, he was here to test me. I failed," Matt mumbled, giving a heavy sigh. "You didn't. You really didn't," Foggy said comfortingly, as Matt leaned against him wearily. He didn't know what the hell was going on, or what kind of test Matt had supposedly failed, apart from the torts one he'd missed, but he could make that up. He was pretty sure that abduction and assault was a pretty good reason for taking a test over. They could talk about that later. Right now, he just wanted to take Matt home and make sure he felt safe and comfortable if he could manage it. "You don't know me, Foggy," Matt muttered doubtfully. "Not really." "I know enough. I'm gonna grab a couple of burgers to go, and then we're gonna go home and get you cleaned up, okay?" Foggy murmured, gently patting Matt's shoulder. Matt nodded, his swollen lip trembling. He reached for Foggy's arm and gripped his elbow. He'd never done that before, trusted Foggy to guide him. He felt strangely honored by that. He entered the restaurant with Matt and steered him to a table, his heart aching. Matt looked so hurt and vulnerable as Foggy approached the counter and looked back at him. He swallowed hard against the lump that rose in his throat. He wanted to cry, but more than that, he wanted to punch Stick right in his stupid face for ever touching Matt. One day he would, he promised himself. End chapter 10.